Temin. We're talking about hiring and firing trends in government. Our guests are Michael Caine, the CHCO at Energy, and Pat Tamburino, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Civilian Personnel Policy at DOD.
And next, we wanted to go into a topic that I know is near and dear to Amy Morris's heart, and that is the so-called millennial generation that everyone seems to be expending so much energy on trying to figure out and accommodate and see what it is they need and should have for hiring and nurturing. I'd like to get your perspectives on the reality of younger workers that are coming into the federal government. I mean, I'll just offer this. I've seen a huge amount of interest on the millennials that I have known for what the Defense Department does. It may be something counterintuitive in that, but that's the case. Why don't you tell us what it is you're finding? Why don't we start with DOD?
You know what I find? I find these folks are tremendously enthusiastic. And like all enthusiastic people, they have to be guided and mentored. We get them. They're excited. They're excited, one, to have a job. That's a big deal now. And they're excited to have a job with us. And what I find is they have enormous amounts of creative energy. They have enormous amounts of energy, period. And what they want is they want to link up with somebody. When we link them up with a mentor that has been inside the federal government for a while that can say, I'll let you work on really meaningful projects. I'll let you be the spokesperson in front of the boss. I'll let you write the report, but I'll guide you and you'll feel successful at the end of the day. These are tremendous people. They're full of energy. Like all people full of energy, they require a little bit of guidance because they are new to the workplace.
And just a follow-up question, do you think we overemphasize the technology and the Twitter and those aspects to the detriment of saying that young people in many ways have always been the same?
You know, I look at the social media and I find it kind of fascinating. I have two millennials. One is very much into the social media and all the technology, and one could care very much less about that technology at all. But what I do find is they're energetic. And the other thing I find a lot now is if they were teenagers on September, on 9/11, if they were in high school, they remember that day as a very profound day in history. And I find repeatedly in the interviews a resurgence of, that was phenomenal, and I owe something to my country now because I lived through that day as a high school student, as a young person in America. And I hear that a lot on interviews as a really motivating factor for wanting to become a federal employee.
Is that exclusive to inside the Beltway, or do you see that nationally?
I see that nationally. I see it profoundly inside the Beltway. Because of the demographics of all the federal and military workers and the children that were at your local elementary or secondary school. But it was an international event. And it comes up more than I thought it ever was going to come up in an interview. So they do feel some debt to serve because they live in this nation of ours, which is really fantastic at the end of the day.
And Mr. Caine, what's your experience at Energy?
Ours is similar to Pat's. I do see that this group of students coming in looking for jobs bring a tremendous amount of passion. They also bring a very questioning approach to how they're mentored and how they're coached. They're looking for really what I call the blackboard type of approach. They're used to seeing that in school where they go in, they can get their assignments, they know right where everybody is, they can find somebody and communicate with them. They're looking for that same approach from their supervisors. They're used to talking to each other at 8 o'clock at night. They want to see that. And what I'm seeing is our supervisors are actually starting to respond that way. We're spread all across the United States. And one of the things that we've done, particularly for the engineering and the highly technical communities, is put them into cohorts, and they use electronic mentoring. And it really is becoming a training base in and among itself. As they share experiences, a development of what I call case study types approaches to solving problems. And it tends to break down geographic issues that we in the Energy Department have experienced over a long period of time.
So that sounds like one way to mitigate what might be intergenerational, conflict or separation, I guess. I don't want to overstate it. But to break that all down and get them all together is the very act of assigning them to one another in a mentoring situation.
Yes. And one of the things I think it does is it builds a stronger continuity. I talked a little bit about bench strength. It begins to identify that bench strength, not locally, as Amy talked about, inside the Beltway, but it starts to extend it in a virtual sense nationwide, and for us, worldwide.
A quick question before we go to the next break, and that is about the difference then between that group and others. One of the things that I talked about with Tom earlier is, you know, what other generation didn't want mentorship or feedback or the ability to talk with their teachers and stuff like that? How is that different than anybody else?
I don't think it is. I think that's what employees want every day. They want to talk to their bosses and say, you know, what's our objective today? What's my role in achieving those objectives? They want to see the leadership. I'm really fortunate. I work for Dr. Stanley, the Undersecretary for Personnel and Readiness. It is not unusual for Dr. Stanley to show up in my office, which is two floors away in five corridors, to come and talk to me about what's going on and meeting the people. And that's what people want. They want to know what they're doing matters. They want to know that their bosses and their leaders and supervisors are interested in what their work product is. And when you give them that feedback, that pat on the back, that email that says, hey, that was a great PowerPoint or white paper or whatever, you make miles. You make so much return on investment from that. I think that's what every worker wants.
We're speaking with Pat Tamburino, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Civilian Personnel at the Defense Department, and Michael Kane, the CHCO at the Energy Department. This is a Federal News Radio discussion about hiring and firing trends in government. I'm Tom Temin, along with Amy Morris. We'll be right back.
If you're in federal IT, you're working in a pressure cooker. There's pressure to implement cloud computing, pressure to conserve energy, pressure to maximize the IT investment, pressure to consolidate the data center, and pressure to do it all right now. CDWG relieves pressure. We have the expertise, the experience. We've done virtualization, optimization, consolidation, and all those other Asians that make your agency operate more effectively. To find out how the data center experts at CDWG can help your agency, visit cdwg.com/datacenter. CDWG. People who get it.
Help your agency achieve the benefits of private clouds with a VBlock infrastructure package. These data center solutions are from the Virtual Computing Environment Coalition of EMC, Cisco, and VMware. Find out more at cdwg.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Hey, it's the Geico Gecko. Now, as a federal employee, you're probably one for a smart presentation, so I've put together some charts and graphs here. There you go. That will help illustrate the money you could save by switching to Geico. First thing you'll notice is that Geico offers discounts to most federal employees, GS7 or above. Now, this is big news. But that shouldn't come as any surprise from a car insurance company that has been serving government employees since 1936. And as you can see on this graph here, it's probably why we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. Yeah, no, I do actually realise you can't see these, but trust me, they're rather impressive. Especially the 97% customer satisfaction rate. And when you consider it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more, well, all you GS7 employees or above should just contact Geico. Tell them, Mike.
Hey folks, this is Mike Causey, and the Gecko said it best. Most federal employees GS7, the equivalent or above, could get a discount on their car insurance. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin along with Amy Morris. We are talking about hiring and firing and employment trends in government. Our guests this morning are Michael Kane, the CHCO at the Energy Department, and Pat Tamburino, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Civilian Personnel Policy at the Defense Department.
I'm going to give each of our guests about 60 seconds for this next question, and that is advice for other CHCOs out there and others who are dealing with these hiring and firing trends. We want to start with Mr. Kane at Energy, and what are some of the bottom line pieces of advice you would share with your colleagues?
Face the fact that budgets are going to get tight. And start thinking in front of yourself. And that means don't cut training, don't cut experience-related travel, and focus on how you can maximize alternatives to the traditional ways of doing business, like recruitment. Start looking at alumni events. Start looking at putting students on stipends instead of sending recruitment officials repeated travel. So focus on investing in training. It's where our strength is.
Mr. Tamburino.
Plan, and do some more planning. You have to get ahead of the vacancies. You have to get ahead of the training curve. And after you're done planning, tell your people what you're doing. Solicit their feedback. The best people to give you advice are the people actually doing the work. They know what's required. They know where the excesses are. They know where the gaps are. Go solicit their advice. Listen to them. Engage in conversation every day.
And that brings our discussion to a close. We'd like to thank our guests, Michael Kane, the Chief Human Capital Officer at the Energy Department, and Pat Tamburino, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Civilian Personnel Policy at DOD. It's been great having you. And you've been listening to a Federal News Radio discussion about hiring and firing trends in government. If you missed any part of this discussion, check our website later this morning, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.